In the name of Jesus Christ, our Shepherd. Amen. What are we doing here? Concordia Seminary has many important roles in serving the church, but central among them all is this: we prepare shepherds for God's flock. See the two enormous men behind me in the stained glass window? They wear stoles and carry staffs with the shepherd's crook at the top. Timothy and Titus, pastors, shepherds for God's flock. Ah, the flock of God. The world around us may be in turmoil, but in the flock of God. The secularists all around us may be jettisoning morality and personal responsibility, but in the flock of God. The world around us may be governed by ambition, self-interest. People step on one another to get ahead, pass by one another in times of need, look down on one another, envy one another. But in the flock of God, the world around us may have totally screwed up priorities, may invent all kinds of gods for themselves. But in the flock of God, how are things in the flock of God? In our text, God speaks to his people, you, my flock, he calls them, through the prophet Ezekiel. And how are things for God's flock in the days of Ezekiel? Incorrigible idolatry and sinning, repeated rejection of God's word and God's warnings, and so now, vanquished by the Babylonians, torn from their homeland, humiliated before the nations, forced to live among a people of strange tongue. For 12 years they have been living in exile. And in the chapter just before our text, a fugitive arrives among them, a survivor from Jerusalem who brings the most recent news. The city has been struck down. And just like that, any remaining hope of returning was gone, for Zion was gone. The city of the king was gone. The house of the God of Israel was no more. How are things in God's flock? Things were really quite bad in God's flock in Ezekiel's day. It's hard to imagine them being much worse. But you know, things were pretty bad through most of the days of the Old Testament. They were enslaved in Egypt, and there they worshiped other gods and fought with one another. In the wilderness, God's flock still showed its true character, stiff-necked, rebellious, contentious. Even Moses and Aaron and Miriam couldn't get along. In the land, in the days of the judges, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. They bowed down to the gods of the peoples around them. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them over to plunderers, sold them into the hand of their enemies, and they were in terrible distress. And so God gave to his flock shepherds, anointed kings, anointed prophets, anointed priests, leaders, shepherds. And how did that go? Well, Ezekiel tells us how it went. In the opening verses of Ezekiel 34, just before our pericope, God speaks to the shepherds of Israel. My shepherds, he calls them. The flock is scattered in exile. The city of Jerusalem has fallen. And why did this happen? Because of you, my shepherds, I sent you to feed the sheep, but you ended up feeding yourselves. Shouldn't shepherds feed the sheep? You used the sheep, clothed yourselves with their wool. You ate the sheep and did not feed them. They were weak, but you did not have the heart or take the time to strengthen them. They were sick, and you did not heal them. They strayed and became lost, and you did not seek after them or bring them back. You ruled over them with harshness. My people are sheep. They need shepherds. You are my shepherds. And yet there was no shepherd, the Lord says. No shepherd, because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and not my sheep. Therefore, you pastors, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand. In his commentary on the book of Ezekiel, Horace Hummel writes, "The severest judgment will be for church leaders." And Dr. Hummel continues, and weigh seriously his words here. "Some infractions will likely not be made with malice aforethought, but whether through incompetence or the sin which so easily besets all fallen mankind, clergy certainly not excepted, Christ's flock is easily neglected, alienated, and abused by those called to be shepherds." At Concordia Seminary, we prepare men to be shepherds for God's flock. We invite them to come here, to devote themselves to preparing for this office, and very soon, the Holy Spirit indeed calls them to be shepherds of the flock of God, purchased with his own blood. Many of you are pastors, or soon to be pastors. God's flock needs shepherds. Yet in a thousand ways, we shepherds fail. And that failure is not just some demerit for us, but it hurts the flock, scatters the flock, leaves God's lambs alone, abandoned, lost, wounded, sick, starving, dying. God hates this, because God loves his flock. And so here in Ezekiel, God promises that he is going to rescue his sheep from his shepherds. But the shepherds aren't the only problem. In the reading that we just heard, it turns out that God also needs to rescue his sheep from one another. Things are not right between the shepherds and the sheep, and things are not right between the sheep and the sheep. The fat grow fatter. Whoever can throws his weight around, serving his own interests before those of his neighbor. That was the problem with the shepherds. Same problem with the sheep. When I was a kid, I loved being a Lutheran because I loved Advent and Lenten services on Wednesday nights at our church. I loved Advent and Lenten services because we had cookies afterwards in the fellowship hall. So for the first half of the service, I would delight in the fact that my King was coming, lift up your heads, ye mighty gates, or I would lament over my sin and have gratitude in my heart for Jesus' saving death, come to Calvary's holy mountain. That was the first half of the service. But somewhere midway through, my mind would turn to other weighty matters, such as cookies, and I would begin to take stock of where my family was sitting in the sanctuary, especially in relationship to where certain other families were sitting in the sanctuary, the ones with kids, those who might be significant competition for reaching the cookie table first. And I'd start to keep track of precisely what remained in the service, and my feet would kind of rev up, and I would find myself sitting on the edge of the pew. And in my head, I would kind of envision the whole thing and plan out getting a good start right at the end of the service, a better start than Eric Bry or Shanda Bishop or Tyson Cook. Certainly wanted to make sure I beat my two sisters to the cookie table. And as soon as the service was completely over, maybe even half a second before that, I'd break out of the pew, walk as briskly and discreetly as I could, and as soon as I hit the sanctuary door, would bolt at a dead run those 20 steps or so to the cookie table, because these were cookies. We're talking about cookies here. And I wanted to be first. Just for the record, I don't do that anymore. Just walk. But what a perfect picture of the human heart, the heart of God's sheep. And we all do it, though, of course, in more subtle ways, but with much more important, much more hurtful sometimes matters than cookies. And God sees. And in our text, God tells us what he sees when he looks at his flock. Whoever in the flock can reach the good grass first, eats more than his share, and carelessly tramples what remains so that what is left is barely edible for others. Whoever reaches the pools of water first, drinks until sated, heedlessly trudging around in the water and stirring up the mud beneath so that the water is fouled for others, barely drinkable, yet the first sheep don't notice or care. Whoever has girth or strength pushes aside the lean and the weak, keeps pushing them out, outbutting them with their horns, though this divides the flock, scatters the flock, and puts many sheep at risk. How are things in God's flock? Selfishness and lovelessness are everywhere. Selfishness and lovelessness among the sheep. Selfishness and lovelessness among the shepherds. And God sees all this. And so God declares, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. And I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be prey, and I will make things right again between sheep and sheep. And I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. How are things in God's flock? Dear lambs of God, dear shepherds of God, we have so much to repent of. But things are good in God's flock. For God himself has come to shepherd his sheep, to seek them and to find them and to strengthen them and to make things right between them. God has set up for us one shepherd, the Son of David. Jesus has come. How are things in God's flock? Well, the shepherds and the sheep. But Jesus, now Jesus, now a shepherd has come, our God has come, a David has come, a true shepherd, a faithful shepherd, a good shepherd. This shepherd charted a course not to be first at the table, but to go to Calvary and to drink from the hand of God the cup of wrath on the cross for us. For the sins of the shepherd was struck. For the sins of the sheep, Jesus became a lamb led to the slaughter. This shepherd plunged headlong into the valley of the shadow of death, where his sheep were lost. And on the third day, he came back again with you on his shoulders. This shepherd does not eat his sheep, but feeds them. With bread and fish on hillsides, with the bounty of his creation, day by day, salads and strawberries and sourdough and steaks and cookies, this shepherd does not eat his sheep, but feeds us mysteriously with his own body and blood. This shepherd is preparing for his flock a marriage feast and a fruitful paradise which will sustain us forever. One shepherd, finally, a good shepherd, David's son, Jesus Christ. Please pray with me. Help us, Jesus, our shepherd. Have mercy on us. Forgive us our selfishness, our lovelessness. Come and lead us. Make things right between us. Provide for us. Protect us. Preserve your flock. Transform our hearts. Kindle your love in the hearts of your shepherds. Kindle your shepherding love in the hearts of your pastors. Be the shepherd of your sheep and lead us safely into the one sheepfold of the world to come, where the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be our shepherd, and you will guide us to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Amen.